Hi, this is The Gathering Church in Windsor, Ontario, and I'm Pastor Garth Leno. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, John, for reading the scripture for us. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the church, not our building, because in fact the church is not a building at all. The church is people. And more specifically, the church is the community of true believers in Jesus Christ. Those people who have put their complete trust in Jesus' perfect life, his sacrificial sin-paying death, and his victorious resurrection for their salvation. That's the church. These walls and things like that, just a building, not the church. And in the New Testament, a number of images and metaphors show up that help us explain and understand the church. One of them that appears multiple times is the idea that church is a body. And it's this image that we're going to focus on this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. In this letter, Paul has been addressing multiple issues in the church in Corinth. One of them was improper relations between church members. There was jealousy, pride, mistreatment, strife, resentment, division, particularly as it related to the different gifts and abilities that God had given to each person in the church. And so as Paul sought to correct these issues, he used the image of a body to help explain and remind the Corinthians of our deep interconnectedness, that they all needed each other, and therefore they needed to treat each other with love and humility and equality. Same is true today as it was then. And as we walk through this passage, we are going to see that every single Christian is called to be a humble, contributing part of the body of Christ. So let's start by reading verse 12 and 13, and then I'm going to also read verse 27. Verse 12, Paul says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." And now verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So the first thing that we see in this passage is that the church is the body of Christ. Now obviously, we aren't Jesus physically. I am me, you are you, and Jesus is Jesus, and Jesus is in heaven. So what does Paul mean by saying we are the body of Christ? Well, Paul's saying that because of our spiritual union with Christ through faith, we actually represent Jesus physically on the earth. Did you catch that? Sometimes we blow through a statement really quickly and we go, oh yeah, that makes sense. Hold on a second. Everybody who has put their faith in Jesus represents Jesus physically on this planet. What an awesome privilege and responsibility. Just think about that for a second. We are ambassadors for Jesus. People are, when they look at us, they're supposed to see Jesus, what he is like. May he give us grace to represent him well each and every day. Now, in verse 13, he mentions being baptized in one spirit. So he's talking about individual conversion. Each person, when somebody hears the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and they repent, they turn from their sin, and they put their trust completely in Jesus, they are forgiven. And the Holy Spirit of God comes and gives them new life, regenerates them spiritually. It's called being born again. Maybe you've heard that term before. And now, they belong to Jesus. They're part of God's forever family. They join the body of Christ. And just as there's many individual parts in our human body, it's the same thing with Jesus and his church body. Many individuals, many parts, but one body. It's this idea of unity with diversity. This is church. That's what church is supposed to be. Unity with diversity. You see, church is just, it's not just some nonprofit organization. It's not some event that you go to or just a service that you attend on a Sunday morning. Biblically, church is a close-knit community, a family that was purchased by the blood of Jesus. It's a body that you're a part of. It's really important we understand, we don't just go to church, we gather as the church. Okay? Verse 27, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Each individual believer is part of the body of Christ. The capital C, C church, the capital C church, the church of all the earth. But each individual believer also needs to join a local church, be a part of a local body. Lone Ranger Christianity doesn't work because each one of us are just one part of the body. And one part of the body, doesn't matter what part it is, even if it's the brain or the heart, if it's not connected to other parts of the body, it's just going to sit there alone and won't be able to function. You need other parts for it to learn how to function properly and so that the other parts can function properly. Christianity is not a solo sport. Never has been, never will be. Now, again, the church in Corinth, they're experiencing some problems, some division, some lack of understanding of this. They were elevating some people, some parts of the body, demeaning and excluding other people based on their gifts and abilities. They needed to be reminded that the body actually really does need every single part. We need to be reminded of this as well. The body really needs every part. Verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. So it seems that some people, they're feeling down, feeling depressed about their role in the body, or lack thereof. They're going around and comparing themselves and looking at the different gifts and abilities that some people had versus the gifts and abilities that they had. And they're going, oh man, they really got that, and I only got this, and what? That's not something we ever do, right? One wise person has said that comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. Constantly looking around, comparing to everybody else, it's going to rob you of your personal contentment in the body. And Paul writes this to remind them, every person, every body part is valuable. Every person is needed. A healthy and functioning body needs all the parts. I mean, or just think about sports. Not everybody gets to be the quarterback on the football team. Not everybody's the starting pitcher on the baseball team. Not everybody's the goalie on the hockey team. But if you just had those three players, it's not going to work. You need a whole team to surround them for this to be a good team. So please, please don't compare. Don't go around contrasting with other body parts and other people because each person is different. And each person is important. I mean, our feet, our physical feet may not be as glamorous as our hands, may not be able to do as many different things as our hands can do. But man, feet are crazy useful. They carry us places. They're good for walking. I mean, yeah, we could learn to walk on our hands, but why not use the feet? They're there. So thankfully, we have feet. Let them walk, right? Verse 17, to me, is just hilarious. If the whole body were an eye, okay. I'm sorry. Where would the sense of smell be? Where would the sense of hearing? Just imagine a 6-foot-tall eye right now staring at you. Yep, oh my. And it's nothing else, not connected to anything, not in an eye socket, part of a head, a neck. I mean, it can look, it can see straight ahead, but it can't even turn to look to see what's to the left or to the right. And there's not even an eyelid to protect it, so it gets all dried out, goobery and nasty. It's just an eye. Gross, we get it, right? We understand. The body needs every part in order to function properly. And our church needs every person, not to be the same. Not to have the same gifts, not to have the same abilities, but for each of us to humbly contribute and to function however God has designed us. We don't need a bunch of clones of one particular person. One of me is more than enough, okay? Yes. There, I was waiting. Someone's going to amen that. So who's it going to be? All right. We're good. We're good. But especially as we think about launching towards two services in the fall, just over a month away, We really need every body part contributing, functioning, humbly, gathering, worshiping, being united, being diverse, saying, okay, all hands on deck, let's go for this. Not just so we can say, look at us, we execute two services really well, the gathering is so awesome. No, so that more people can hear about Jesus and know Jesus and that God's kingdom can expand in Windsor, Essex. That's why we need everybody. That's why we need everybody. You are needed. Now look down at verse 21. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So now I have the flip side. Some people earlier, they were feeling bad for their lack of position in the body. Now I've got other people thinking that they're more important, more valuable than the other people in the body. Oh, look at us. We are so important. This is the pride, arrogance. It leads to hurt. It leads to division. It leads to factions and segregation, and there's no place for this in the church. For you to go around to actually look at somebody and say, I'm better than you, or to think, I'm more important than you. I mean, don't you know who I am? Don't you know? I'm the ear. I hear all. What are you? Well, you're just the appendix? What do you even do? Now, if you're the appendix, that doesn't feel good. You're sitting there like, hey, look, I'm quietly doing my thing. Appendix is actually pretty valuable. Google it. You're sitting there doing your thing, and somebody's coming along. They're hurting you. They're insulting you. They're taking advantage of you. You feel like you're taken for granted. You feel like you're not valued. You feel like you're not appreciated, all this stuff. Now, eventually, the appendix says, I'll show you what I can do, and it explodes, and it can take everybody out. That's not the goal, right? Pride creates division. Division hurts, and division can kill the body, and it prevents the body from functioning properly, prevents the body from functioning in a healthy way. And really, when you take a step back, those who are walking in pride and thinking that they're more important, more useful than other people, what grounds do you have for boasting in the first place? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Everything we have is a gracious gift from God. Everything. You're breathing right now because God says so. Just let that settle for a second. We need to remember that each and every day. As soon as we're tempted to look at somebody, to think something, I'm better, I'm more, whoa, wait. God gave me the ability even to have a thought or to breathe. Whoa, he can take it away. Division is not the plan for the church. God's plan is unity with diversity. Every part valued, every part contributing, serving with humility. And now, when you say the word unity, some people might think that unity equals complete sameness. And so you can find groups and even churches, they have this appearance of unity, but they lack genuine diversity. So what I mean is you can find churches where it's just white 30-year-olds and there's no kids allowed and they all have their lattes and they only listen to Bethel music. It's not actually unity, that's uniformity. And it's not healthy. We need diversity. And I'm so glad that we are part of a multicultural, multi-generational church. You look around. I love coming up here, and I look at the faces. I'm like, wow, different ages, different backgrounds. Or you go in the gathering place. I encourage you to do this. Maybe some of you don't ever do this. Just today, go in there today, grab a little coffee, and just kind of stand. Like, not in a doorway, but stand. And just look. And go, wow, look at all the people. Look at the ages. Look at what God has done here. This crazy, beautiful tapestry that he's created called the Gathering Church. One body. Many parts. We have so much to learn from each other, to help each other follow Jesus. Everybody is needed. Every part. We need teachers, artists, cooks, and ushers, and greeters, and deacons, and elders, and preachers, and cleaners, and administrators, and musicians, and sound techs, and kids workers. No, seriously, we need some kids workers. If you could help in the toddler room or the grade 3 to 5 class, please talk to me. We need you, and you need us if our church is going to function well and continue to be healthy. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to turn to the person to the left, And you're going to say, you're valued and you're needed. Are you ready? One, two, three. You're valued and you're needed. Now you're going to turn to the person to your right. And you're going to say, you're valued and you're needed. One, two, three. You're valued and you're needed. If there's nobody beside you, say it to someone behind you. Okay. Good. And when we think about, again, our church, and you think about how God has brought all of us together, you might come on a Sunday and say, man, this is like a random group of people. Right? And it might look random. You might think that it's random at times, but it's really not. In fact, the body is specifically composed by God. You look at verse 18 to 19. It says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And they jump down to verse 23. He's talking about the different parts, all that there is there. And he says, on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But then it says, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there be no division in the body. God is the creator of everything, the all-wise king of the universe, and in his sovereignty, he composes the body to function well. So you think locally, think about our church. This means God gives and will give the people the gifts and abilities that we need when we need them. You are here, not by accident. You are here as part of this church on purpose. And that purpose is to serve Jesus by being a functional part of the body. So as long as you're here, contribute. Our banners love, grow, serve, and multiply. Contribute. You've got a part to play. Now, I'm not a classical music connoisseur, but when I think of composing, I think about classical music. I think of Mozart and Beethoven and Bach. How careful, how creative and intricate they were. They would use all kinds of instruments. And they'd make this piece of beautiful music. Not all the instruments play at the same time. Not all the instruments play as loudly. But every part is used to create a complete song, a work of art. In the same way, God has specifically and intricately designed you and me to fit in this church. He's given us different gifts, different abilities to different people so that we can represent Jesus well, so that we can be salt and light in this world, so that we can be used by God to help more people know, love, trust, and follow Jesus and give glory to God. That's what he's done, and that's why he's done it. The body is composed by God. That truth should help us stay humble. To say, it's only by grace that God would save me, that he would send his son for me, let alone use me as part of his body to do something. That's astounding. Who are we? Again, apart from Jesus, we look around, just random people. Who are we that God would use us? But by his grace, he chooses to. It should humble us. But that truth should also help us stay content as we learn what part of the body we are and we learn to function in that role. So if you're the pinky toe, don't complain that you're not the ear, you're not the nose, you're not the mouth. Okay? Be thankful that you're part of the body at all as a start. And trust God's sovereignty. He doesn't make mistakes. He knows what he's doing. He knows where people fit best. And also, remember that he cares as much about the pinky toe as he does the nose, the mouth, and the lung. There's no partiality or favoritism with God. We struggle with that all the time, but God doesn't. So, know that you're loved by the creator of the universe, and be the best pinky toe that you can be. Or whatever part you are. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Why? In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. That in everything God would be glorified. God gets glory when the church functions well, when everybody's doing their part. He's composed the body to do this. He's composed the body to function well. But he's also composed the body so that its members would be able to care for each other. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26, again it says, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. God's plan is a unified, diverse body. A church that genuinely cares for everybody. We're supposed to be so close and so interconnected that when somebody goes down, someone gets hurt, a part of the body is injured, we all feel it. We all notice. And then we all do what we can to address that. We may not be able to do our one part might not be able to solve everything that happened to that one injured part, but we all react. We're all called to react and say, what can we do? Right? If I hit my thumb with a hammer, my brain sends a signal, it's hurt. And my mouth gets involved and says, ouch. And then maybe the rest of my hand and my wrist get involved. Maybe it starts to shake it a bit. And for whatever reason, my mouth gets involved in again, and it goes in my mouth. It's like, why am I sucking my thumb? I don't know. Maybe that's going to help. And then the other hand says, let me help. And it try to hold it or whatever. And then the eyes, they lock on and say, where can I find ice? Where can I find ice? Where can I find ice? And while they're waiting to find ice, they say, what else can I do to help? I'm not sure. I'm just going to start leaking, and we'll see. And then the legs go, and they take you to the ice. Okay? All of that happens in about an instant. Because God has designed our bodies, human bodies, to work together, to cooperate. Ah, problem, how do we fix it? How do we address this? How can we care for this? In the same way, that's how we're supposed to care for each other. Maybe we're not sure exactly what to do, but we try to help. We try to help. One body, many parts, caring for one another. That's how we're supposed to function. Represent Jesus, care for each other. So we've seen this morning what it looks like to have a diverse and unified body. Every part humbly contributing. Every part. No pride, no division. One body, many parts, working in harmony, representing Jesus Christ to the world so that God gets the glory. May God get glory in our church today and every day as we seek to represent Jesus well. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to say thank you, first of all, for sending your son Jesus to live the perfect life on our behalf, to die a sinner's death in our place, to be raised again in victory that we might have forgiveness and new life and join your family. Thank you for then calling us into this body, this church, allowing us to represent you, giving us each a role to play. I ask that you would help us to represent you well. Please fill us each with your spirit so that we truly can be a humble and unified church. Thank you for diversity. Thank you for each and every person that's here. I pray that you would keep us far from pride, far from division, and keep us away from unhealthy comparison. Help us to be content with whatever body part we are, whatever gifts, whatever abilities you've chosen to give us. And Lord, help us to truly care for those who are suffering. Use us individually and corporately to reach more people with the gospel We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.